All right. Welcome, everyone, to the Iowa Gravel Series Podium Podcast. We have a special guest with us today. It is Claire O'Leary. She is one of the very first podium winners ever on the Iowa Gravel Series. Back in, way back when, in 2021 at the Walk-On 100, Claire came in first and just did a decimated the field. It was so much fun to watch her. And recently we reconnected over some really cool things that she's doing. And so we thought it was an awesome opportunity to get Claire here on the podcast and catch up on what she's doing, because this podcast didn't exist back in 2021. So this is a really great thing. So Claire, it is so wonderful to have you.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Chris.
So Claire, we need to get to know you a little bit at first. I know a little bit of your background because we talked after the race, and I've been following you on Instagram since then, which has been really fun to see what you're doing. But let's start from the most important beginning, which is how did you get riding a bicycle?
That's kind of a long-winded story. The short version is I am the tried and true classic injured runner starts biking story. But my story was a little bit less linear than a lot of times that whole story goes. My older brother, Mark, is a big fixture of the racing scene in upstate New York, and for years had been heckling me to buy a bike and do a rail sport and things like that. And he even sent a postcard that said that. And then in 2018, I was back home to do a work business trip, and then went back home and did one of his races where they had a Iowa bike fleet there. It was the cyclocross race. And he's like, here, you run with your bike, it'll be fine. I mean,
that makes it a real race.
Yeah. I absolutely loved it, but it took a little bit at the same time, I had been a competitive runner most of my life, ran cross country and track in high school and college, and then got into the trail and ultra running scene after that. So my kind of claim to fame is that I ran 50 miles before I ever rode 50 miles. So still kind of making that transition. And then towards the end of the pandemic, 2021 or so, I really started to see myself as more of a cyclist, like really train on the bike and, you know, put the running shoes away a little bit and kind of make that transition more primarily off-road and gravel.
Oh, wow. And that kind of brings us to where we met at the Walk-On 100 at that point. Well, I think you did a fantastic job of like making that very concise. That's really cool. It really is amazing to think of. I've not done an ultra run like a 50 mile or anything like that. Just out of curiosity, how does training and preparing your body for a 50 mile run versus some of these bigger, I know you've done Unbound and Gravel Worlds, you know, some of the larger races. How does that compare for you, training between running and cycling?
Ooh, there's a lot of things the same and then a lot of things different as well. I'll say for running, runners tend to go by like gut or feel or vibes a lot more than cyclists with their power meters and their data and everything. And sometimes I kind of miss that. And sometimes I just get back to it too, of like, I'm just going to play around in the woods on a mountain bike with no power meter and just have fun today. Like the only metric I need is like how many miles I have during this.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a good point. And I mean, kind of as a data geek, that's actually why sometimes I struggle with my running, is I'm like, how am I really doing? I'm always wondering. I'm like looking for some weird validation or something like that. But you're right. It is freeing when you don't have to worry about it. You just start the watch and you know you're going to run for a while, and you go and you just say, okay, it's going to be an easy run and go. So yeah, keep it simple. Well, cool. I want to highlight just kind of the few things that I hope we get to today. I want to talk about some of the racing that you've done since Walk On, but also I want to talk about the main reason that we got reconnected, which is the Driftless Gravel Camp, which you started out doing in 2022, correct? Okay.
No, 2023. Just this past year, we had our first camp in April.
Oh, okay. So you're going into your second camp that's coming up.
Correct.
Okay. So let's go back in time a little bit then and talk about what's happened with your racing since Wacom 100. I know you've done Unbound. I know you've done Gravel Worlds. Tell me a little bit about what you've learned over the last couple years.
Wow. Okay. So I did Unbound 2023, which is the mud year, quote unquote. For me, the mud was not the big part of my race story for that day. I've also done Gravel Worlds in 2022 and 2023 for the 150 version. And I really love that race and I love the community around it and just how big it is, but how much a homecoming it feels at the same time, even with all the sponsor banners and everything that's going around with it. And then other racing besides that, just a lot of local racing. So I'm based in Minneapolis and do a lot more towards the Minnesota side of things. But I got to go to Core 4 in 2022, the first year that they did that. And that was one of the most fun races I've ever been to. And then a lot of adventure rides, too, in the meantime.
Ooh, so what do you qualify as an adventure ride?
Usually it's equal parts like logistics. And then just a big day on the bike and at least mildly stupid in whatever the plan is. But just a big ride out. I really love point-to-point rides and escaping car trips by just going out and doing something. The biggest one was I tried to ride to Easter this year and there was a 20 to 25 mile an hour headwind all day.
Yeah, level 2, level 3 fun, right?
Level 3 fun for sure. A lot of the MMRs were still snowed in and I didn't realize it. And yeah, I ended up bailing out at a quick trip and just sitting there and getting laughed at by some mom in her minivan.
Did the mom in the minivan like help you out or did she just laugh?
She just laughed.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a choice. Yeah, we can do that. I have been looking at different kind of things in that vein of an adventure ride. I've done some easy adventure rides, I would call it, because they're, you know, there's a ride provided by the San Juan Huts system out of Grand Junction, Colorado into Moab, Utah. That's a 3-day and it has huts in between, which is a lot of fun. And they give you a route and everything like that. But I've wanted to figure out other ways to just maybe string along a couple different locations and do a multi-day adventure. Do you prefer having a place to stop and camp or whatever in your adventure, or do you prefer having one big long adventure that maybe goes into the night or goes across a full day without stopping?
I'm a little bit more into the just one day adventures versus bike packing, although I do really want to do an overnight ride. I've never done that. And I have a race coming up for next year that will be an overnight ride or two nights. So getting some experience with that too. And then one of the other ones that's on my bucket list is using the train to go from Minneapolis, St. Paul down towards Winona and either then coming back or using that as a launching point to just do a full driftless adventure of however many hills and bluffs you can string together.
Oh, that's a good idea. I know that's something that I've done in Europe where you have trains available over the place where, yeah, you can just basically put the bike on the train and then go off. And I know there's a lot of trains that kind of terminate in Chicago area, which would come either through Iowa or Illinois or through Minnesota and that area. What's the distance that you end up doing when you do that Winona trip and come back?
Ooh. I haven't done it yet. There is an established route called Chase the Train, and I don't know the distance on that. I know that making the straightest possible line is about 140 miles.
Yeah, and that qualifies as a good adventure day. Absolutely, 140 miles. What's the adventure or the race that you're signing up for that's going to be potentially a couple days?
That's called Haywood 390. It's out of Northfield, Minnesota, and it's run in conjunction with a few shorter rides too, including Haywood 55 and 110 that kind of run from, it starts a little bit south of the Twin Cities and it kind of runs into that driftless area of Southeast Minnesota. And it's a little bit TBD. I mean, there are chances that I won't make it to the start line, but I've always been really curious about the ultra cycling scene because I did come from ultra running. And granted, you know, like a 9-hour run is a lot different than being on the bike for 36 to 40 hours. But yeah. I'm excited to see what happens. And, you know, if I only make it through the first night and I end up taking the train back from Winona, there's no skin lost in that, too.
Yeah. What time of year is that race?
April 18th or something like that. So May. I'm sorry.
Oh, May. Okay. Yeah.
That's potentially better weather, but it could still snow.
Yeah, especially in Minnesota, you've got that altitude or the little bit farther north than us. Because I do know some folks that have signed up for the Iowa Wind and Rock, which is the 340, kind of the longest, as far as I know, the longest distance race in Iowa, the spiritual successor to Trans Iowa and everything. And that one's in April. So yeah, I'm in kind of that same camp of like curious. Excited, but yeah, you don't know if you'll really make it to the start line depending on just how things go, because that's a time of year where there's just a lot of factors that could make it maybe a bad idea to do it.
Yeah.
I did want to go back to Gravel Worlds, I believe 2023, where you podiumed.
No.
It was Unbound. I'm sorry, my bad. It was Unbound 2023 that you podiumed, which is also very amazing and fantastic and stuff. But I got my big races mixed up. Tell me about that mud year and how it turned out for you being, frankly, in such a great position, it sounds like.
Yeah, well, you know, everyone talked about the mud, but the way the race played out for me, there was a train crossing that happened right at the start that split the field on rollout, and I was caught right behind it and got held up. I was so mad about it. There were some people who tried to like dodge through it and made some very reckless decisions. But, you know, once we got through, it was only a couple of minutes. It's like, okay, this is whatever's going to happen. So that was kind of a saving grace in a way. By the time I got to the mud, it was relatively backed up. And there was no opportunity to try to ride. I think in some areas I would have had the skills, but there were too many people. So you just picked up your bike and you walked for, 4 miles? It was stupid. But then, you know, after that, the day just kind of got better. And so many people had derailleurs ripped off and, you know, had their day go badly, including a couple of people I knew from Minnesota. And around a mile 100, I'm getting kind of the path slowly by a train and of people. And I look to my side and I see someone or a kit that I recognize. And I'm like, Steve, what are you doing here? It was a local racer who should normally kind of be leading the Masters men field. So I knew that if he was back by me or passing me, something in his day had gone very, very wrong. And turns out that he was on his wife's bike and just decided he was going to fun ride it and then DNF later. And we ended up rolling together for like 30 miles in the heat of the day and just telling stories. And he was just out there to have a day. And the temperature was getting close to 90 degrees. And I was just kind of holding on, but just really enjoyed having a friendly face. And then as that's going on and I'm kind of riding his wheel for a while, Allie Tetrick, the pro and past winner, comes rolling by and she looks at me and she's like, hey, girl, you're crushing it. And we just had this like little train going that was just such great vibes for so long. And then the thunderstorms came and it started raining sideways and I lost shifting and like, you know, all of these calamities happened in the day. I actually hucked it down a hill and broke my wheel, but didn't realize it until after I finished. Yeah. Well, I'm kind of glad I didn't know the rim was broken, but.
Right. Because you probably would have stopped, right?
Yeah. Ended up just, you know, the last 20 miles, I shared poles with some guy from Ohio, just pretty much silently, we both kind of realized that we weren't going to beat the sun, and we were rolling in back into Emporia, like through the college campus together. We get to that very last stop sign, and I see a smaller rider, and then I realize it's another woman. And I had not seen another woman since I got dropped by Ali Tetrick, like 70 miles beforehand. So I see, and I just sprint down the main street, and that ended up being, you know, a place for the open or non-pro field of Unbound. And for being so anxious about that race and everything that goes into it, it was kind of just a fairy tale day. And I think my favorite part of it was just having my friends and teammates at the finish line. Like, I have a weird fractured memory of it, but one of my friends was lecturing me on the nutritional value of Casey's Pizza because they're just waving the boxes around in the finish chute. And...
Oh, wow. Tell me a little bit about what you expected going into that race, and then maybe what you, as you reflect on it, how your expectations maybe changed through the day.
I'm a pretty analytical racer. Like, I probably had a 5-page Google Doc of like, what I expected to do between each checkpoint. I had split the race in between each major town checkpoint and what I expected to do, what I expected to eat, major course features, and it all went out the window. Like, a friend had pre-ridden most of the course, and I had cues in for when certain pinch points might be, and like, you know, cues in my bike computer. It was out the window because, you know, with the weather changing the night before and just everything else, you can't really plan for what it's going to be like or what your mindset is going to be like.
So what did you do as you realized, you know, fairly quickly, like, all right, this is not the race that I put down on paper. What did you do to manage that and kind of keep your head in the place that clearly left you in an area where you were... You still had something in the tank for that sprint finish down the chute. I mean, that's quite a feat. So what do you remember telling yourself through that day?
You just kind of go back to the basics, like take care of your body, take care of your bike, keep eating and drinking and take care of your bike. Like if you're grinding on something, stop. If you think you're on rim, stop, you know, and go back to the basics. Like, you know, everything went right and yet nothing went right in a way. Like, my friends were at the second checkpoint and they gave me my hydration pack and they forgot to put a bladder in it. And we only had about 40 miles to go and it was a lot cooler. And I had two bottles on my bike too, but I'm leaving town and I like suck on the hose and I realize nothing's there. And I'm just like, oh, well, it's going to be a day.
Yeah. I think something that I've been thinking a lot about lately, and why I ask you that question is I think how important it is as we get into racing and as we try new things to kind of be okay with what is going on at that moment, because the only thing that you have really in your control is your steering and your pedaling and your eating and your nutrition and those things. Like, there's a few things that you can control and there's a whole bunch of them that you can't. And I think so much part of the mental wellness that I get from cycling is the fact that I just control the things that I can control and then I keep going. And I think that's something that is always maybe a little bit helpful for us to reflect on and just something that I've been thinking about a lot. And maybe that's actually a decent transition into the Driftless Gravel Camp and how that got started. So tell me a little bit about this camp. I know that it's for Femme Trans Women, FTW. We might use that acronym, I guess, a little bit here. Tell me how this got started. What is it?
Yeah. So going off on your segue, I think like having the skills and the confidence is really like the groundwork to be able to adapt as things go wrong and know that you can handle your bike and your body and trust in your training and you just make the day out of it, whatever happens. So Driftless Gravel Camp, we started in 2023. So it's a weekend of skills and community building and bike riding in Winona, Minnesota, which is in the heart of the Driftless area of that Southeast Minnesota, Wisconsin, Upper Iowa, and then part of Illinois that's really known for its challenging topography and really, really beautiful gravel. And that's where you can put a plug in for Walk On too.
Yeah, because it is pretty. It's one of the, I mean, I unfortunately, I say that kind of with a joke. I unfortunately called it the Iowa Gravel Series, which kind of, I think is good to limit yourself to like what your creativity and what you're going to do, your bounds and everything. But yeah, I distinctly remember when I was scouting the Walk On 100, heading up and actually crossing the border into Minnesota and thinking, wow, there's some good stuff up here too. Like, how far up do we go? Do we take a little cross state journey that way? Because the whole area is beautiful. So, so that's what it is. You know, mm-hmm. it's in that area and everything. But why did you say, okay, I need to do this?
Yeah. So in March of 2022, I got to go to a gravel camp that was put on by the Amy D Foundation. And you might know of them because of the role that they play in like developing elite levels of racing too. Like they'll have composite teams at some of the huge road races like Tour de Gila and Green Mountain Stage Race. And they also started doing a gravel camp near where a lot of their leadership is based outside of Roanoke, Virginia. And the whole premise of it was come with yourself and your bike. Like the camp itself is free and covered by scholarship. And we are going to give you the tools and the information that you need to go off and to go pursue your own races and adventures. And I flew myself to Roanoke, Virginia with my bike. It was, I think, my second time flying with a bike and my first time having to build it up all by myself. And the first thing we did is we rode straight up a mountain on double track. And I learned I had never descended a mountain before on pavement or on gravel and got to descend following the wheel of a pro cyclocrosser. And just the amount of skills and experience that I gained, like it was the first time where confidence, skills, and fitness had come together for me on the bike. And to go home and then within a few weeks, we're into the gravel racing season in the Midwest and really applied that to race my first century on gravel and to apply all the skills I had learned. And then as that 2022 season continued on and like racing Walk-On and Gravel Worlds and so many other races, I started to see how big of an impact that had on me and how much I wanted to try to make something like that in the Midwest. So some pieces started falling together, including getting some help with the event management and logistics side. I am not a perfect person as far as reading insurance quotes and navigating that whole process. It's important, but it is so confusing.
Yeah, I think anybody who's been a race director, there are certain parts of doing those things, putting on a camp where you're like, this is not my favorite. This is not what I want to be doing, but I'm pushing through it because of something else. So you're definitely not alone. But yeah, keep going. At what point do you remember the moment where you're like, I think I need to do this?
Yeah. So I had been floating around the idea and had put it at the bottom of a goal spreadsheet that I sent to my coach of like Gravel Camp 2.0. And he lives in Winona and has an Airbnb under the Work Cycling Services banner, just as a plug for him. And he replied, I'd love to do it to help out. Like, you should do it here. And that was kind of like, oh, like maybe there is the infrastructure if I wanted to do this, but I wasn't sure if I wanted to make the leap. And then flashing forward a little bit to October 2022, I made it just a really quick trip out to West Virginia for the funeral of my uncle. It was a full military burial on top of a mountain in West Virginia. And just remember watching my uncle and my other uncle and my dad saluting their brother's casket and what a moment that was and hearing taps and everything. I fly back to Minnesota, you know, get home, grab my bike, do like in and out intervals around a suburban lake, like a really dumb workout, but I have taps stuck in my head and I'm just thinking like throughout the whole season, I've been thinking about how I can show up and give back to the cycling community. Like, as I'm growing and taking more from it, like, how can I give back too? And it was then where I'm like, okay, this is a go. And then from there on out, things just started to snowball. People caught wind of the plan. And we had a little bit of a planning team going. And I was just overwhelmed by the amount of support that came out from, like, people of all genders who are like, I see this need and I want to help.
That's amazing. That is one of those things where when we're available, like you said, you know, the fitness comes together, the skills come together, the tools come together. There's something magical that happens sometimes when we put these ideas out there and we let them bake, and then you find the right time that whatever it is, the universe kind of speaks to you. And I definitely feel like I have the same experience. I go out and do a stupid ride somewhere, and that's when I get the idea that, okay, this is the next thing that I need to do. It is, for all intents and purposes, the best prayers that I ever give are with my handlebars in my hand and my butt in the saddle. And I don't know how that happens, but that's the way it tends to work. And so that's really beautiful and special. So it starts coming together. What's the mission? What is the goal for Driftless Gravel Camp?
Yeah, the mission statement, as I crafted as a good copywriter, as that's my job too, is to encourage and equip FTW cyclists to pursue off-road races and adventures. Well, what does that mean? That means someone who's maybe newer to gravel, who maybe has a gravel bike but is only taking it on the road in the city, or who has raced it some, maybe mountain biking, or maybe they've done some other things, but they're nervous about taking on their first century, for instance, or maybe they're a good climber, but they're not a great descender. It's about giving people those skills and wrapping it around 362. Like, it's not just on the bike skills building. We're also doing Zoom sessions beforehand with like dietitian and a bike mechanic and things like that. And even I learned things from those. Like, we had a mechanic just teaching us on Zoom, like, okay, you crash and you shear off your derailleur. What do you do now? And I got to put that to work, not on my bike, but on someone else's this spring. And I just had her voice in my head of like, okay, you need to think about the chain tension. You have to get the derailleur off. You have to manage your cables, stuff like that.
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about. So Ian Breitlow is the marketing director for the Iowa Gravel Series. And if I remember right, is that who you were on the ride with? And was it Ian's bike?
It was Ian's bike. He just hit someone's wheel on a downhill and went over high side before you knew it.
Oh, wow. So tell me who ended up signing up. Tell me about the people, because I think you mentioned you had about 12 folks, 12 riders on the camp this last year. Tell me about these people.
Yeah, so we did it free of charge. And that was really the really cool thing about this, is because I wanted to replicate what MED Camp had done of like, we're not out here to make a profit. We're out here to build skills and community. So we had an application process and we were absolutely overwhelmed. I think we had more than 35 applicants from like 7 states. It went way broader than we ever expected. We ended up kind of zeroing in just on Midwest riders, most of whom were from like the Twin Cities metro of Minnesota, but we also did have a rider from Iowa City too, and some people from like the La Crosse, Wisconsin area.
Okay. So what did you notice as you brought this group together? Like, where did you kind of see them start and where did you see them end?
It was a really wide cross section of riders. I put in a deposit for my gravel bike right at the start of the pandemic, and I just got it a few months ago, to someone who was a little bit older and nearing retirement. And her goal was that she wanted to spend less time working and more time on her bike and doing what she loved. Another applicant who I absolutely loved is what I would call a cyclocross mom. She's always posting on Instagram of how they get like 6 bites on their Subaru or something. It's, you know, the whole family loads up every weekend and they're going to Wisconsin and across Iowa to cyclocross. And hers was about how, like, I support my husband, my kids racing, but it's my turn. And I did run into her at a race this year, and it was so cool to see how she has taken her turn this year and applied a lot of what she learned too.
Wow. So format wise, it sounds like you start off with some Zoom sessions. So you're kind of, it's more of like an unconference at that point, or some prep ahead of time. So dietitians, mechanics, what else is in those Zoom sessions before you come together?
For 2023, we only did 4, I believe. So it was the 2 you mentioned. We had a sports psychologist talk about goals and values. And then I actually presented on how do you make a gravel route, and from how do you use Ride with GPS to here are all of the DNR resources and all of the ATV trails. And specifically for Minnesota, like if you want to go way up in the Superior National Forest, like how do you get the resources for the, you know, is it a road? Is it a road? Can you ride on it? Like there are so many great places to explore.
Yeah. And then you come together and yep. What does that format look like?
Yeah. So we came together for 3 days starting Friday afternoon. The first thing we did was some skill sessions just in a park on grass. Like we practiced side bumping each other, picking up flags out of the ground, like what good body position on downhill looks like, things like that. And then we went over to a bluff climb that was nearby. It's kind of had like a couple of turns and like a decent like 10% grade or so. And we started going halfway down of like, okay, how can you manage 1 or 2 turns together? And then how can you manage, you know, the kind of drop down and then the 3 turns? And it was really fun to work with riders just over and over and seeing them get more confident, riding the brakes a little bit less, trusting their skills a little bit more. And then the second day, Saturday, we did a supported adventure ride, which is a big dumb ride with a sag van too, and just putting the skills that we had learned to work in a longer setting there. And then also the skills that we'd learned off the bike too, like the nutrition and the managing your gear aspect of it. And then Sunday, we had horrible weather last year, but Sunday was just a shakeout, debrief, cleanup. Saturday night, we had a big community dinner too, where we asked a lot of questions. It was a time for everyone to go come together and not spread out on a group ride and be like, what's a sidewall tear and why is it bad? Or like, what do you think about when you're on a 4-hour ride? Like it was when all of the questions came out.
Oh, awesome. Okay. So that, I mean, that sounds like a fantastic, and what time was this October or what was it?
April.
In the fall? It was in April, spring. Okay. So this was spring of 2023. And so you're looking to do this again in 2024. What is it going to look like? What are you thinking?
It's going to look a lot of the same as far as it's going to be the last weekend of April, and it's going to be in Winona. We're still hammering out exactly how many riders, but around 12 to 15, still kind of on an application basis, targeting advanced beginner to intermediate riders. So someone who has like some experience, but really maybe hasn't ridden gravel a lot, or maybe wants to get into racing more. I am yielding leadership a little bit. We have a broader team of 4 of us that really brings in a lot of different skill sets. For instance, someone who's worked in nonprofit and a professional project manager who keeps us all in line, where I get to, I don't know if we decided what my nickname was, but you know, I get to go in and go ride my bike and go sending it downhills and teaching people that too.
Awesome. Wonderful. So if someone's interested in this, like how do they find you? How do they get involved? Are you looking, how does someone find you and how does someone get involved?
Yeah, so we're on Instagram at Driftless Gravel Camp, and then we also have a website, driftlessgravelcamp.com. As far as the timeline for 2024, we're hoping to open up applications in February, and then it makes a decision during that month as well, so that riders will have a lead-in to be able to like train and prepare and for us to do all of those Zoom sessions and stuff ahead of time too, and then camp at the end of April when we all get to come together.
What are the, have you set down the dates for the camp for 2024?
Yep. It will be April 26th to 28th, and again in Winona, Minnesota.
Okay, very cool. All right, so what do you have, are you going to be taking, you're taking applications again, so do you have kind of an idea of what you're looking for, or is it that you want to get as many applications as you can and then kind of build up the group that'll be coming together? What's kind of your philosophy there?
Well, the really nice part about having a bigger planning team this year is it's not all going to fall on me, because last year going through the applications was the best and the worst part of it. Like, you know, reading these and being like, wow, they're so great. I want them to be my friend. They say they moo at cows during rides too. But as far as what we're looking for, we're still narrowing that down, but definitely more of a beginner focus, like giving people the tools they need to get started and get going. Like if you're riding Unbound 200, it's probably not exactly what you're looking for. And I know that there aren't a lot of skills camps around, but it's to take people who maybe aren't comfortable cornering on gravel or aren't comfortable on longer rides and give them the tools they need to be able to do that.
Very cool. Who do you have sponsoring? Because there's no fee, right? It's all under kind of a scholarship model, much like the Amy D Foundation. So what's your relationship with sponsors, and are you looking for more sponsors?
Yeah, we don't have anything inked for 2024 yet, so don't want to speak too soon on that, but getting a lot of support from the local community, both in like brands that are based in Minnesota, but also in the local community and individual donors too. You know, with being able to get the seed money to get the initial things like insurance that we need to get off the ground already covered. As far as getting in touch for, you know, partnering, we would love that. And that can come in a lot of different forms too, like obviously cash, but also if you're a race director and you want to offer some entries for riders to be able to do their first race, or, you know, filling needs with gear too. We had a few riders last year who did not have enough bibs for the entire weekend. And I bought a set of bibs out of my own money, not out of the camp money, so that this rider would be able to make it through the weekend and have fun and successful rides.
Oh, wow. That's great. Well, okay. So we did not talk about this ahead of time, but you mentioned it. So I'm gonna offer. Have you talked about the Glenwood Super Bloom? And would that be something you'd be interested in having a few registrations comp to get folks to come out to the Glenwood Super Bloom in September of 2024?
That would be awesome, because I know the idea of having like an all women's race, I think, is really cool. And as someone who's comfortable kind of pacelining with the men and holding my own, there's also sometimes that intimidation factor of like, I went to a race ride earlier this May where I was the only woman with 40 dudes. And we started that ride and we went straight up a bluff. And up that first climb, my only thought was, don't be last, don't be last. But the point I'm trying to make is that at all levels, I think it can be really quick to feel out of place in the cycling community as a woman. And I absolutely love what you're doing with Super Bloom. And when you first told me about it, I was really, really excited. And it is a little bit farther from Minneapolis. And I'm planning that probably a lot of our camp riders will be more from Minnesota than Iowa, but would absolutely love to take you up on it. Thank you.
All right. Well, we'll figure something out there. And to be clear, this wasn't my idea. Like the whole idea was with the Glenwood Super Bloom was Julie Bohr from the Prairie Bloom. She started Prairie Bloom in Omaha, Nebraska. And we just got to know each other a little bit through the races and her club and team, or I guess it's not so much her club and team. I don't think she would think of it that way, but the Prairie Bloom club and team coming out and supporting races and being at the races in Iowa Gravel Series. So Julie is really the driving force behind this. And I am just a very willing and supportive person that just, I love to learn and grow with this. And I feel like there's so much that we can all learn from this idea of like what happens when you have very much a male dominated sport. And you say, let's not focus on the male dominated part of it. Let's focus on the women dominated and what happens. Claire, what else should we hit on maybe before we wrap up? What else do you think would be helpful for you in supporting things? Or is there other other topics that we maybe didn't get to yet?
Well, as far as camp, and you mentioned how you were excited for what you might learn, and when you just have women together in a space that's traditionally so male dominated. I think at our community dinner during camp this past year in 2023, we really saw that. Like, we were just having a general Q&A, and get a younger rider who also is a runner turned cyclist. It's like, wait, tell me about chamois. Like, are you supposed to use chamois cream? Like, I don't understand this. And then people got very opinionated and passionate about this. But she felt comfortable talking about like a sensitive topic and like something where she hadn't really been able to find the answers and no one had necessarily told her.
Yeah. Yeah. That comfort level. I remember being very intimidated when I got into cycling in California, in the Bay Area. I'd been a recreational cyclist, but then I started showing up to these events there and it is scary. It is intimidating. So having a group that where you feel safe, where you feel like, hey, I can ask any question here and it's going to be okay, I think is very cool. And I think we're also looking at some ways. I know Julie's looking at some ways with Super Bloom to make it more accessible for women to be there. So if you have any other insights that you might suggest for us as we're looking at going into this event, given that you have some experience with putting on a femme-focused event, what else do you think we maybe should be thinking about?
Some of the questions that we got, especially beforehand, really surprised me, and they shouldn't have. Like, I was fielding a lot of bike computer questions. And as a hardcore Wahoo user, I was like, I don't know about Garmin, but was able to direct them to someone else and that, you know, just the, you know, wait, how do I get my route on my computer? Or like back to what I talked about for camp, like, how do I make a good route of somewhere I've never been and have like a decent confidence level that it won't be a horrible trash route?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. Like navigating, figuring out your training, where do I go? What's going to be interesting? What's not going to be boring? And then yes, that bike computer stuff, because I'm very geeky. I love my geeky stuff. I love it. But I know that there's a lot of stuff that I can do with that Garmin. On this last race that I did late this in October, I finally turned on the meal reminding tool. A meal and nutrition tool that's on my Garmin. And it was great. It was fantastic to have that, like, for a much longer race than I've done before, to have that reminder, be like, hey, we're looking at your heartbeat. We're looking at your power output. You should probably drink. You should probably eat. Like using those tools and resources, you know, all I had to do was kind of like look up the instructions and figure out how to turn it on. But having someone or having some group, a place where you can kind of like learn how to use a Wahoo or a Garmin or a Hammerhead and things like that, that would be a really interesting, you know, clinic or things, resources to provide. Those are good ideas. Well, Claire, this has been fantastic. I've just enjoyed this so much. I'll make sure to put in the speaker notes links to the Driftless Camp and anything else that you think would be important in terms of contact info. But thank you so much. This has been a fantastic I've learned so much from you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me and for the work you do with Iowa Gravel Series.
Pleasure. All right, we'll catch you later.